Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome to Homeschool Companion. I'm Rose.
I'm Kathy.
And we're so glad you're here with us today. We're going to be sharing a story with the kids called Prayer on the Bus. And I don't know if I can pronounce the name, but it's by Pan Xiaoming.
Looks right to me.
And it's taken from Guide Magazine. We love Guide Magazine. Here we go. I hated riding the bus. Every time I rode the bus in my hometown in China, I became sick to my stomach. I'd bite my lips hard and lean on my mother, but the nausea wouldn't go away. Mama, I feel so sick, I told her one day.
Hold on, we're just two stops from home. Excuse me.
A strange woman bent over to speak to my mother.
I noticed that your son isn't feeling well. May I pray for him?
Mother looked at the woman and then at me.
Yes, you may pray for him.
She said, no one had ever prayed for me before. I didn't even know what prayer was. The woman's voice was kind and soothing, and she leaned closer to Mother and me, closed her eyes, and started talking to someone we couldn't see.
Father, you love this little boy, and it makes you sad to see him suffer. Please help him to feel better soon. Thank you, God.
I was watching the woman as she talked, but I couldn't see anyone she was talking to. Her prayer didn't frighten me, but it puzzled me. Mother and the woman spoke for a few minutes. Suddenly, I realized that my stomach was no longer upset. Mama, my tummy is better, I whispered shyly. Mother looked at me and then at the woman.
Thank you.
You're most welcome, the woman said, smiling warmly. Would you and your son like to visit the church I attend this Saturday? You can learn a little more about the God who loves you and wants to be your friend. Mother looked at me. Color had flowed back into my pale cheeks, and she knew I was feeling better. Yes, she said, I'd like that. On Saturday morning, Mother and I walked to the simple church several blocks from our home. Our new friend greeted us and sat with us during the church service. I was shy, but I enjoyed hearing the people singing with such joy.
Mother attended church every week, but I had school most Saturdays and couldn't go with her. As I grew into my teens, I was more interested in spending time with my friends than worshiping in church.
I completed my secondary education and applied for permission to study business in Japan. I passed the Japanese language test, but still I struggled with studying in Japanese.
I missed China and my friends and family, everything that was familiar. In my loneliness, I remembered attending church with my mother. I remembered the peace and warmth I felt among the church members. I looked on the internet for an Adventist church in Tokyo.
I found an Adventist church near the university, and to my surprise, it was a Chinese church in Japan. I telephoned the church and spoke with the pastor.
I'm so glad you called.
He said, please.
Please visit.
Oh, just do I'm so glad you called.
I'm so glad you called.
I mean, just, you know, combine the two.
Beep. I'm so glad you called. Please visit us this Saturday. We're a small group, and you are most welcome.
I found the church and was welcomed warmly on Sabbath morning. We studied the Bible and sang songs, and I remembered from my childhood. Oh, and sang songs that I remembered from my childhood. I'm going to do that paragraph over again.
Okay.
I found the church and was welcomed warmly on Sabbath morning. We studied the Bible and sang songs that I remembered from my childhood. Soon, I was friends with everyone there.
I studied the Bible and the Sabbath school lessons, and I asked the pastor to prepare me for baptism. I was the first new member of the Chinese church in Tokyo.
I must tell others, I thought, but what can I do? I was drawn to study theology, which is the study of God, so I could learn more about God. When I told my mother about my desire, she was thrilled, but I knew that my father, who wasn't a Christian, would be angry about my decision. so I didn't tell him.
I have finished my business degree and am studying theology now. My focus has changed from doing business to doing God's business.
Amen. What a great story. I'm here with Courtney Tooley. And Courtney, we have not had the privilege of having you on this show before. But you have a lot to share. I'm sure that young people who have been homeschooled and maybe are going back into traditional schooling would like to hear what you have to say. So we're going to start there. You are 16? You are 16 years old, and you were homeschooled for quite a few years.
Yes.
Do you know how many years you were homeschooled?
I was homeschooled from second grade to fifth grade, so that's
about 3 years.
About 3 or 4 years, yeah.
And then you went back to traditional school. At what point, I'm going to just ask based on the different talents that I know you have, at what point did you start playing basketball?
I started playing basketball when I was in sixth grade because I used to ice skate, and I wasn't technically allowed to ice skate anymore because all the competitions were on Saturday, so I had to pick up another sport, and the only interscholastic sport that Manhattan had was basketball, so I went towards that.
And your parents wanted you to be well-rounded, so what other things extracurricular did they get you involved in?
Well, I started playing the flute when I was six or seven-ish, somewhere around there. I also sang in choir, you know, played many different instruments. And then, of course, there's always horses. We lived on a farm, so we got involved into a lot of animals. So, you know, the animals, the scholastics, the sports, the music.
Well, we're going to talk about it all because every parent wants their child to grow up to be very well-rounded and have a lot of interests. So staying with the basketball theme for a little while, do you think it's important for families to encourage their children to do sports?
Yes, I do.
And why would, I mean, besides it being fun, what things has it taught you?
It definitely teaches you a lot of life lessons, including, you know, sportsmanship, which, you know, is keeping a positive attitude in no matter what situation you're in, whether you're losing, whether you're winning, whether, you know, a girl pushed you, whether your teammate is messing up, whether you're messing up. You have to keep a good positive atmosphere around you. It teaches you about working together, I guess you could say, you know, working as a team. So you have to be able to trust your teammates, to be able to know that they have your back, and to be able to treat them as a family. I guess it can teach you responsibility, because being captain, there is a lot of responsibility there for keeping the morale up, making sure that, you know, they don't put their heads down too much if they mess up or something. And of course, you know, there's always the, I have to go get the balls for away games.
So when did you become captain?
My sophomore year, so last year.
So your sophomore year you became captain, and at that point, could you look back and see how God maybe had led you in different enterprises or had given you gifts to make you qualified to be a captain of a varsity team?
I guess he gave me, you know, the gift to be able, I mean, to lead people on the court. I was put in the point guard position already my eighth grade year, and then just working forward and working towards that, I started leading more, leading the team more, and so then I was put into the captain position. So I guess that helped me.
And for that family that might feel like, you know, sports is a superfluous activity, would you have any words of advice for them to reconsider?
It definitely teaches you a lot. Sports, I believe, you know, it's good physical activity. It keeps you in shape. At least it keeps me in shape. You know, it definitely helps with teammanship, with sportsmanship, with working with other schools. A lot of the times our Adventist schools don't really, you know, talk to or communicate with other schools around us. But sports is definitely one of those, I guess you could say, outreach, except that we play with other Christian schools. But it, you know, gets the communication, the interaction with other students.
Now let's talk a little bit about your music. Music is a, you know, seems to be a pretty important aspect. How do you balance your sports with your music?
Well, sports takes up a lot of my time because I've been striving more towards that side of the hemisphere.
So you almost think that sports is on one side of the hemisphere of your brain and music's on the other side?
There are definitely a lot of differences, but there are some similarities, such as the adrenaline rush I get before a performance is the same adrenaline rush I get before a game. But, and also, I guess you could say the nervousness of messing up is equal to both.
And it is a performance.
Yeah.
It is a performance. Well, let's talk about the instrument that you play.
Flute.
Flute. And this, playing the flute has given you other additional opportunities. Just tell us a little bit about those.
I have the opportunity to go to Australia in the summer, and I'm also going to Guam and to the GC session coming up this summer for the entire month of June.
And the GC stands for the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, their general session?
Yeah. So,
what are some of the pieces that you've learned on the flute?
Lots of pieces. I've learned a lot of pieces from WSA, such as Syrinx. That's a very, very popular piece in flutist. And, well, when you're learning the flute and playing the flute, it's a very emotional piece because it has a story behind it. Of course, it's Greek mythology, so... But it is one of those pieces that you... It's one of the pieces that every flutist usually learns because it is not accompanied. So you have to use a lot of expression, a lot of emotion into the song to make sure the story comes out into the piece. And others, I guess other songs I've learned would be a lot of Mozart's and actually Bach's concertos and sonata, or yeah, and sonatas too.
Let's listen to a little bit of it now. I think it goes to show how we don't have to, you know, focus solely on one thing. We can take all of the talents that God has given us and try to do them well. So tell our homeschoolers, what was the hardest thing transitioning from homeschool back into traditional school?
I guess there were mainly two hard things. For me, the hardest thing was probably the scheduling. For homeschool, it was a little bit different. We started later, we ended later. We had longer breaks in between. And, you know, but for some people, it may be transitioning into not knowing anybody. I'm such an outgoing person that when I walked in the room, everybody knew that I was there. So that wasn't really difficult. Another thing that might be difficult, at least for me, was the fact that we sat at desks. And after a while, that starts to hurt really bad when you're not used to it. Because, you know, sitting on a couch and reading a book is different than sitting in a desk and reading a book for the same amount of time.
Yeah, now if you could have had your choice looking back, would you have done any homeschooling? Would you have just stayed in traditional school?
Well, I really do like traditional school. But I feel like homeschooling gave me some experiences that I wouldn't have had in regular school that I do like to have.
Very good answer. Well, we have to take a break right here, but when we come back, we're going to talk about what's currently happening in Courtney's life. We'll be right back. You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion, or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783, or call us at 301-824-3162. Welcome back. I'm here with Courtney Tooley. She's a 16-year-old junior in high school and is captain of her varsity basketball team. She also plays soccer and volleyball and is an accomplished flautist or flutist, however it should be pronounced. Having been asked recently by the New England Youth Ensemble to join them, and so I promised our listeners that we'd catch up to, you know, what's currently going on in your life. 16 seems so young. Are you learning to drive?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have your permit?
And... Yes, I'm getting my license as soon as possible.
And as a junior, 16-year-old, with so much going on, how do you balance all the schoolwork and all the sports and all the music practices and all the socializing?
I live for the weekend. Just kidding. I take as many opportunities as I can to do my homework. Because, so if I'm in math class and I finish my math homework early, I'll ask to go to the computer lab and do history. And so then when I finish those things, and then after work, I have usually some sort of sports practice. And then if I don't have any other homework, then I'll usually just go straight to sleep.
So you work in addition to everything else that you're doing. Tell us a little bit about what a 16-year-old does in their job.
Well, I work at Mount Etna Retreat Center, and I'm a custodial worker, and I'm also a kitchen staff, and I'm also a lifeguard there.
Wow.
So, you know, during the cold winter months, we shovel snow or clean cabins. Then, of course, during the spring and fall, there's blowing and raking of leaves, the mowing of grass, the spreading of mulch. And then, of course, on the weekends, I work in the kitchen. So I work Saturdays and Sundays sometimes. I work in the kitchen, which honestly is a very humbling experience to do, mm-hmm. because you get lots of groups coming in and you get to talk to a lot of them, and it's very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm. So what has been the most challenging thing this year for you?
Lack of sleep.
Mm. So how do you cope with that?
I have no idea.
Do you take a lot of caffeine?
No, I don't usually take anything. I try to...
Do you sleep through class?
No.
I don't know if she does or not, but she just looks guilty over there when I ask that question.
I try not to. Normally, I get caught if I try to. Mm-hmm. Or I miss something and then I end up failing my test. So I can't. But I normally just, I guess you could say that when the weekend comes, I try to sleep in as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you look towards the future, what are you aspiring to be when you grow up?
Well, when I worked at Mount Etna Summer Camp this summer, I taught basketball, and I always had this where I wanted to be a teacher because it's in my blood, and I knew it was going to happen to me anyways because it's got to happen to one of us, and my siblings aren't going to do it, so it's going to be me. So I decided that I was going to be a teacher, but then for some reason I really, really wanted to do mission work, so I was going to go into missionary, like be a missionary or something. But then I taught basketball over the summer, and I realized that I really, really like coaching, and one of the things I'm really good at is sports or physical activity. And so I want to be a coach for like inner city kids or kids that like orphanages or Boys and Girls Club, mm-hmm. or something where I can still reach out to people, and mainly to kids, I guess, teenagers, middle schoolers, even elementary kids. And I can still reach out, but I can reach out doing something that I love to do, and mm-hmm. that way it'll, you know, be interesting and beneficial all at the same time.
So tell me, how do you get spiritual food? You're so busy, you're working, you're practicing your music, you're doing sports, you've got all your classwork to do, you're learning to drive. Where do you get time to get spiritual food?
Well, I guess that I have to say that my spiritual food mostly comes when I'm working in the CAF at the camp, actually, because even though technically, you know, you're not supposed to work on Saturdays or we're not, you know, it's meant a day for rest, I actually get re-energized by working there because it's more humbling, mm-hmm. I guess you could say. And I would rather have a humble experience than one where I'm bored and falling asleep. So
tell us a little bit about your beliefs or practices in nutrition.
I definitely think that in nutrition, you have to eat healthy when you're playing sports. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't, then you won't necessarily get obese, but you will, you know, your energy will dwindle and you won't be able to keep up when you're playing. So I definitely think that it's healthier to keep a better nutrition of, you know, protein here and there, you can eat carbs and stuff because you're going to burn mm-hmm. it, but definitely don't eat too much. And I think mostly what the main thing is trying to keep by eating 3 meals a day, mm-hmm. because I know a lot of people, including myself, I've definitely done this before, of skipping meals because they either don't have time or they're too busy or forget. But that's definitely not healthy because not only does it make you lose your energy faster, but you also get more tired.
So, and what about water?
You have to drink lots of water. Lots and lots and lots of water because it helps you, because when you're playing sports and stuff, you perspire a lot. And so mm-hmm. you are always sweating and you always have water dripping down and you have to keep your body hydrated. Otherwise, you will not play as well. But that, with saying that, you also have to, I mean, it's not necessarily an everyday thing, but you have to drink Gatorade, too, to keep your electrolytes mm-hmm. up so you can re-energize yourself.
Yeah, looking at you, you look very healthy. You're pretty tall. How tall are you?
5'8".
5'8". When did you become 5'8"? 5'8". So I just appreciate catching up with you. I'm going to tell my listeners here that she's come to my school to do to be the clinician, the basketball clinician for my students, and they are so excited. And when they saw you, they were just so excited. Here's this tall, thin girl with brown, beautiful hair and blue eyes and beautiful complexion. And they have one more day with you. And thank you so much for taking this time to be interviewed. Do you have anything, last thing that you'd like to tell our listeners?
No.
So, Courtney, what words of advice would you have for our listeners as we conclude this show?
I would say that you need to keep a positive attitude no matter what you do. Stay disciplined and stay focused towards your goals and keep trusting God.
That's a great way to conclude this show. And we have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.